Good evening. If you'd open your Bible, as was read moments ago, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, probably over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to be covering what I'm going to call power robbers. Things that take us away and will rob you of any help from God. There's things that prevail that will take you away from God, as well as cut God's power off to help you. And we need to know what they are. I've kind of grouped them together according to the ideas. So, like I said, over the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, we'll take them in groups to kind of look at them. If you'll begin with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is writing to the preacher. And he pens these words in verse 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. The last days. Whatever the last days are, we could be in the last days now. But one thing for certain, there's going to be, he said, difficult times. Things are going to get tough. Things are going to get tough in the church. Things are going to be tough among the people of God, because there are going to be people of God make it difficult. You ever thought about being difficult, causing difficulties in the church? Your attitude, your desires, wanting the wrong things, going after the wrong things, thinking the wrong things. Do you know what makes things difficult? Did you know that you have an effect on the lives of everyone around you in the church? And it makes it tough. It can make it tough on a preacher. But one thing here, he talks about that these last days, difficult times will come. You know, to a sincere believer, you feel the strain when things are difficult. I mean, you know what disappointment is? You feel the stress and strain of people not having the right attitude to do the right things. And you know, God knows well the strain. God knows when people go astray. He feels the strain on His being when people have gone astray and are doing wrong. And sometimes it gets to a point that God won't tolerate it any longer. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 19 or Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, when he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, the scriptures tell us that their outcry has become great and their sin exceedingly grave. And it's come before God. And God has had enough that it gets to the point of no return, and He had to do something about the gross immorality of those two cities and the cities around. And He completely wiped them off the face of the earth. Well, what about in the church? You know, that's history of the world. But what about here? What about people that should be redeemed? People that have been forgiven? What about people that Jesus gave His life for? Is it going to get difficult for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing for me that's a greater strain than to preach and teach and watch people do the opposite of what God says. There's nothing that's more difficult on my heart than to sound warnings and to teach and have people not pay attention. You know why it's so difficult? Because I know the individuals that do not listen, do not heed, are destroying themselves. And their sin is becoming exceedingly grave before the eyes of God. And it makes difficulty in the church. It's tough. Over the last 10 years of my preaching, as I've been able to travel around and speak with a lot of different preachers and elders, one of the things that has come up is that how come in the church there are so many that seem uninterested? Just look at the attendance from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night. How people don't show back up. And so what has happened is that they tried, that many places they've tried different things, and one of the things they tried was, well, why don't we start group home studies on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights? And I'm going back 10 years because that's about how long it started with that. Well, now that I travel around and I talk to some of these very same preachers and some of these very same elders that have been doing these home studies, meeting in small study groups on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, you know what they said? Nobody's showing up to those either. They've stopped. People just aren't interested. Oh, why don't we try to do something else different? Why can't we come back together as the people of God to assemble as the people of God? In the last days, difficult times are coming. And the people of God are going to make it even more difficult. It'd be nice if we were all on the same page. But look around. Look at the attitudes sometimes that prevail. They're not good. And it creates a lot of difficulties. And when those attitudes start prevailing in the church, you're robbing yourself of the power of God. And it will ultimately destroy your life. That's why a few weeks ago I talked to the young people. Because when young people will not listen and heed the things of God, you are inviting God to take action. You are inviting sin into your life, and it's not going to be good. And you could avoid it if you just listen. Last days, difficult times are coming. I want you to hold this for a second. We're going to come back here. Come over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians chapter 1. Look at what we're instructed from God's Word here. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 10, beginning there. Paul's trying to encourage them to increase in their spiritual knowledge and understanding. Spiritual. But look at verse 10. He said, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. I mean, you want to be steadfast? You want to be solid? You want to develop some great patience in how to live your life? He said to be strengthened with power according to His might. Strengthened with His power, His might. Now, you may say, well, I don't understand how you get His power. I don't see how you get His mind. You don't have to understand how. You need to understand the power of God is available. It's available to help you. It's available to help me. And that because it's available, He says in verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We need to desire to please the Lord. It should be in every one of the hearts of people in Christ Jesus. I want to please God more than anything else. And when you want to please God, you know what will happen? You'll start bearing fruit in your life. You know, when you think about bearing fruit, you're thinking about things growing and maturing. You're getting stronger and you're getting better. We need to bear fruit. Things need to be happening in our lives, and God wants things to happen. So that we can increase in the knowledge of God. We're getting closer. We're getting better at being like God. But we need to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. If you and I are going to make it to heaven, there's two things that are a must. Number one, there has to be a way for all of my sins to be forgiven. And God has provided that through His Son. Number two, there has to be power available to help me overcome my weaknesses and when I face difficulties. Those two are a must. And we're not left here alone. We want to be strengthened with power according to His glorious might for some steadfastness, for some patience that comes from God. How much is available to us from God? Well, when I start thinking about how much, I can't comprehend it. I don't know where to go with that. My mind can't comprehend the power of God because I'm so little and so limited, and so are you. Think in terms of the Red Sea. God parted a Red Sea for a nation to walk across on dry land, and He parted it in a matter of minutes. You know that same Red Sea today? There are ships that go up and down that Red Sea. And you think about these ships that go up and down there, and yet the power of God helped the people of God when the people of God needed it most. How much power is available to us? How much strength, how much help is available to us? And then I look at that and I think, how come we don't overcome? We face sicknesses. I don't like to face sicknesses, diseases. I don't like the idea of having diseases. But we look at those things and they just overwhelm us. And we're left here like we have no help. We crumble. We're left like in situations when the economy gets bad, we look at everything and we think, oh man, I got to make money. And there's no power, no help from God to meet my pressing needs, to care for me. If I'll learn to please Him and walk according to His ways. See, the power of God is there. But we seem to be overcome more than we overcome. Something is robbing us of our power. Come back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a reason why. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 2 and verse 4, I want to look at three reasons, the three things that rob us from God's power. And they're so common that when we read them, you're going to say, oh yeah, I know that. But that's the problem. We know that, but we don't overcome. Look at verse 2. He says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Look down at the verse 4, at the end of verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. Those three things, when people, that's going to make it difficult in the church, because the church seems to be, people seem to be more interested in those three items than anything else. And it'll rob you of the power of God. You know, and if you'll notice the lovers of money and the lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, you know, they're all rooted in lovers of self. Self is the root of all of them. Self wants certain things. Self wants to do certain things. And one thing self wants, it wants everything for what you want, you desire, what you feel. And it leads into loving money. It leads into loving pleasures rather than loving God. We are a pleasure-driven society. And I hate to say it, but sometimes the church is pleasure-driven too. Little commitment, little care. Oh, we want God's grace. We want God's forgiveness. We want God's mercy. Oh, we want all these blessings from God, yet we won't make one commitment. Why? Because we love ourselves so much. We love, you know, we're not going to commit to anything. We love our money. We look how to make more money. We got to go after money. Money, money, money. That's it. Or pleasures. Boy, you know what? We'll forfeit certain things in life. We'll forfeit spiritual blessings because of pleasures. What makes us happy? And those three areas will rob you of the power of God. Come back, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're not going to read all the parable. But in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, did you know all three of the lover of self, lover of money, and lover of pleasures is found in this one parable? All three of them. Where Jesus speaks and he's trying to get people to pay attention. Sometimes we're so familiar with parables like this, we don't even pay attention to what's being taught. Oh, I know that. Yeah, you just robbed yourself of the power of God. You know why? Because self, you love yourself so much, you can't be instructed any further. See, there's a lover of self. We get so familiar with the Bible. Oh, yeah, I've read those verses. Oh, have you? Oh, so you know it. Now, if you know it and now you're not practicing it, you really got problems. You know, we might ought to be careful with our lives. But in Luke chapter 8, look down at verse 11 as he begins the explanation. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What's the seed? God's Word. Jesus wants us to listen to the Word, like we were talking this morning. The Word's not the power. The power is the one behind the Word. The Word is what gives us direction so the power can become available. If you'll walk this road, this way, the power of God becomes yours. The seed is the Word of God. Come down, if you would, to verse 14. The seed, the Word, there it is. The seed which fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. No fruit. Remember we read a while ago in Colossians 1, bearing all fruit. We're to bear fruit in our lives. You know what? There's something that keeps you from bearing fruit. Here he says, when the word, it fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. They're choked with worries, riches, and pleasures. Right there in all three of them. Worries, riches, and pleasures. Lovers of self. When self doesn't get what it wants, guess what? It becomes worried. It becomes anxious. We become a people that become distraught because we can't have what we want when we want it. It creates anxieties in our life. Yeah, that's there it is. See, it chokes out the Word of God. The Word can't have any effect. God can't have any effect because we are so worried about not pleasing ourselves. So you cut off the power of God. Look at the next one there. He talks about they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches. Riches. You become reliant on yourself. You become reliant upon your money. It amazes me sometimes that people, you know, when they go after riches, they become haughty, become arrogant. Because if they amass a little bit of money and they want more money, they use that power to go after it. And they become arrogant. They think their money is making them who they are. They think they're somebody. See, lover of money creates that spirit. And so life, you know, becomes powerless. And you know what you forget? There's not one penny you're taking with you. Money, riches, you're not going to stand before God with any of that and have any say-so with it, and it's not going to have any sway power in the presence of God. He says, and the pleasures of this life. Pleasures. Lives are full of pleasures. Parents, they teach their children to be pleasure lovers and pleasure seekers. Oh, yeah. You know, I had the other day, someone was telling me coming in on a Sunday morning, they drove by the soccer fields out here. And they were talking about, you wouldn't believe the number of families, this is back in the fall, number of families that are out there on Sunday morning, and they're packed, hundreds of people. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you know what the children are learning? They're learning, hey, I can be part of God and I can love my pleasure too. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible. You can't be a pleasure lover and a God lover. Now, does that mean that we can't enjoy things in life? Absolutely not. Why, Paul told Timothy that God created all things for us to gratefully enjoy. We can enjoy things. You just don't make the things that you enjoy a priority. You don't forfeit the spiritual things. You don't forfeit the love of God to go after some pleasure. That's the point. And so, what does he say here in verse 14? And they bring no fruit to maturity. There is nothing going on in lives of people that are lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. There is nothing going on, little happening. In fact, what's really happening is they're dying. And if you don't believe it, you wait till they lose some money. You wait till they're really sick or they've got a major problem in their life and they fall apart. They don't know what to do. Many times go off into depression. See, you get robbed of the power of God. And the whole time God's trying to help us out, we don't want his help. Look at verse 15. He says, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The seed and the good soil. How do you know you're good soil? Good soil holds to the word fast. That's how you know. You know, I hear people say, oh, that's a good-hearted person. You know what a good-hearted person is? A good-hearted person is a person that respects and brings the Word of God into their heart. That's a good-hearted person. A good-hearted person is willing to move away from things that they know will destroy them, that will hurt them. A good-hearted person is a person that wants the things of God. That's good-hearted. And he says, they hold it fast. And it bears fruit with perseverance. They stay with it. And it works. And in their time of need, they find the power of God. Come over to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, here's another illustration of where Jesus is talking and he's going to use the self, the lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. We're going to see the worries and riches and pleasures of life. Look at verse 15. Then he said to them, Jesus speaking, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. You know, for Jesus to say beware to his disciples, that means there is a problem. He knows that. Beware. Be on your guard against every form of greed. You want more. You're always after more. You know what? He says your life, when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions? Your life is not about your possessions. You can have the nicest home and the most cars. You can have the most toys that you could ever want, the most expensive things on the earth, the greatest retirement. That's not your life. You can have children and family, and you can say, you know what, I live for my family. That's not your life. Your life doesn't consist in things and people. Your life consists of one thing and one thing alone, and that's your soul. That's your life, and that's all you possess. That's all you have. That's all you have control over is your soul, because you're going to make choices. You're going to decide who to love, what to love. You're going to decide whether or not you're going to bring the Word of God in and let the Word of God have an effect, or you're going to let other things come in and choke it out. To where you can't bear anything. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you, your life is not your possessions. No way. Look down at verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? You know, to have a productive land, do you know God granted this man to be productive? Isn't it wonderful that God grants certain people to amass riches? He blesses lives. And he said, and even though your life is blessed, your life's not about your possessions. And here's this fella who had a productive land. And he asked the question in 17, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? You know what? He's a lover of self. He's worried. Just what we read back in the other parable. He's worried. Choking out the word. He doesn't know what to do. Verse 18. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. Bigger. More. When people are lovers of self and they're lovers of riches and money, they're never satisfied. There's no contentment. It's never enough. You know, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Lovers of pleasure. Oh, that's all I want is pleasure. I just want to enjoy life. You know what? It's all rooted in one thing, lovers of self. That's where it all began. And so here it is. Here's Jesus saying, look at them. Look at them. They've been robbed of the power of God. You know what I find amazing about this section right here? Never once did this man consider helping others. Never even came to his mind. You've got all of these goods that you've been blessed with, and behold, John says, you see your brother in need and you close your heart when you have the world's goods. How does the love of God abide in you? See, there's no love of God in you. People that amass money, I'll tell you what, lovers of God are givers. And you know who I've found over the years, the last, you know, 28, 29 years of my preaching? You know who gives the most? It's the people who have the least. I have found that true in the church. It's the people who sit on bank accounts that are huge, that are stingy with it. And they'll say, the reason I got it is because I don't spend it. But you know what? That's not your life. Lovers of God find themselves being able to help other people. Help other people in need when needs need to be met, because God gives you the ability to make it. But lovers of self and lovers of money and lovers of pleasure choke it. Can't do anything. You know, a lot of times you've seen people that are in difficult situations, and you'll see people that have nothing, but they want to help. I've been amazed sometimes at some brethren, some of the poorest of poor I've known in my life. I want to help. I want to help. Now, where did they get that attitude? A lot of times you'll see people that when they're asked in situations to do certain things, you know what their first question is? What am I going to get out of it? What's in this for me? Lovers of self. It's all about me. What am I going to get out of this? If I expend myself for your sake, or if I go and I do this, you know, shouldn't I get something in return? Yeah, lovers of self, you'll get something in return, but it's not going to be the power of God. You're making it difficult in the church. Sometimes our brethren are making it really, really difficult because they're not spiritual. They're lovers of self. They're lovers of money. They're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, I tell you what. 18 minutes ago, kick off the Super Bowl. We should have canceled services tonight. Carrie, you wasn't preaching. No, I'm just, but think about, listen to how many people cancel services. We're going to change services for a love of pleasure. You ever thought about that? A few years ago, my home congregation canceled Sunday night services when the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl because they brought in a big TV. They wanted to watch it with the young people. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I can't believe sometimes the way people think. I couldn't believe, I didn't know if you noticed the paper this week. I was reading online the different congregations that moved their services back earlier in the day so they could be free for what's affecting our society. And I'm afraid that sometimes it's affecting the church. And we have people that are so uncommitted. And it takes down the whole. It affects us all. Come back to 2 Timothy 3 and we'll close here. You and I can see all of this very plain. He says again in verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. The end of verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Oh, it's easy to look godly. It's easy to look like we love the Lord. But there is no power. Because you deny it. Because you choose to go another way. If it doesn't fit in my schedule, if it doesn't fit in my lifestyle, you know, we don't want to commit. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to be like God. We want God to be like us, to give us everything we want, every whim and way, every time we cry out, every time we're in trouble, every time we need our sins cleansed. Well, we'll cry out to God, God, come help me. God, come help me. But other than that, boy, as long as self doesn't get anything taken away, long as I don't have to commit to anything, long as I don't have to sacrifice, I'm happy and God keeps giving me. Well, I would love a God like that, wouldn't you? To feed all of our lusts and desires. And a God to give me all the money I want so I can be the happiest man or woman on earth. And for God to bring pleasures galore into my life. I never have to experience anything of pain, anything that's a little bit awkward, that causes me some troubles. Oh, wouldn't that be a great God to have? Well, he can be your God. But he'll take you down to the pits of hell. It's called the devil. And he'll promise you the world, and he'll destroy your life in the process. And all you have to do is just love yourself, love your money, and love your pleasures, and the devil will be glad to escort you all the way to the final finish. And you will forfeit God's power, God's help all the way through, and God will shed a tear because he wants to help. And our loving ourselves won't let him. It's not because he's not available. It's because we choose a different route. See, we can deny the power. So we have to take self an examination, don't we? We have to look at us and we have to say, wow, I better look at myself real carefully. Make sure that I am holding. I need to bring the Word of God into a good and honest heart. When I have goods, I need to be a giver, because you can't ever outgive God, and the power of God will always be available to help you through those times. Tonight, if we could help, if we could encourage your life, if there's any need you have, would you come while we stand, while we sing?